Today we start the second topic in the book of Ruth. We're in Perek Beis. We're going to learn Psukim Aleph to Dalet, Psukim 1 to 4. This is lesson number 9. Now that Ruth and Naomi are back home in the land of Eretz Yehuda, and specifically in the Beis Lechem area, so now we're going to see what they're going to do to live with. Pasuk Aleph. Ulenomi Moda. And Naomi had a moda. Moda means a relative. Le'isha of her husband. Now really it was two things. Moda was really a relative for her and as well a relative for her husband. And who was the relative? Ish, a man. And Ish Gibor, a man of might. A mighty man. Chayil, a man of valor. The commentaries say whenever we call someone an Ish Chayil, it means a person with good midos, with good character, philanthropic spirit, a real tzaddik. That was one of her relatives. Mimishpachas Elimelech, from the family of Elimelech, Ushmo Boaz, and his name was Boaz. Now let's review the relationships that was going on over here, so we'll get this clear. We know Nachshon ben Aminadov, he was the brave person from the tribe of Yehuda who crossed the Sea of Reeds before everyone else. Nachshon had 4 sons. The two that we know, they're the famous ones. One is Elimelech. That was one who married Naomi and who left the land of Israel and did not behave properly and who has died. He had another son, Salmon. He has another son that we will be introduced to later on in the story who is referenced here only as Ploni Almoni so-and-so. And then there's a 4th son that we don't know his name. Now, Salmon, one of the sons of Nachshon, had a son, Boaz. So Boaz was a grandson of Nachshon. The 4th brother, Elimelech, Salmon, Ploni, and the fourth brother was the father of Naomi. That makes Boaz and Naomi first cousins. Remember we said Elimelech to Naomi, Elimelech was an uncle to Naomi. So Naomi is related to Boaz really in 2 ways. She's related to Boaz as a first cousin. And also, through marriage to Elimelech, Boaz was a nephew as well to Elimelech. So that's what it means. So Naomi Moda, she had a relative. In and of herself, this was a cousin. And Lisha of her husband, it was her husband's relative. It was her husband's nephew. And this is Boaz. Boaz was a very wealthy man. Boaz was the shofet of the land of Israel at this time. Why is the Navi telling us this? Number one, the rabbi said, tells us a message that even though Elimelech had great ichus and had a great patriarchal merits, still those merits could not help him because of his sin of leaving Eretz Yisrael, as we see he was punished in the last chapter. Now the question is, if Elimelech is such a wonderful person, The Navi does not seem to mention that Boaz is helping out Naomi in her impoverished state. Why is that not happening? Well, we could say some simple answers. Remember, Boaz's wife just passed away. He could be in the middle of Shiva. He may not even know that Naomi has returned yet. She's coming back as an impoverished person. So he has not yet been able to reach out to her. And we're going to see that she does not reach out to Boaz either. She does not ask for help. Why will she not ask for help? She's probably too embarrassed for everything that she did. She was with her husband who left the land of Israel, and now she's impoverished. So she's going to want rather to be assisted than being assisted by Boaz. She'd rather, as we'll see in the next couple of psukim, be assisted by her right of receiving charity, which really from the laws that the Torah have, and she'd rather get her sustenance directly, as it were, from Hashem than from Boaz, as we shall see in the next couple of psukim. Pasuk Beis. Va'tomer Ruth. So it goes in between the lines, as it were, as we know they need to eat something, and we would assume that Naomi is familiar with all the special laws of gifts to the poor that are in this season, in the harvest season. However, we're going to see now the righteousness of Ruth. Pasuk Beis, Vatomer Ruth Hamoaviyah. And Ruth the woman from Moab. She said El Nomi to Nomi. Why is the Navi telling us Ruth of the Moab? We know she's of Moab. And we're going to see that the Torah, the Navi, is highlighting her righteous midos, her righteous characteristics, that even though she was from Moab and she was a Moabite princess, we'll see she's willing to denigrate herself and not allow her mother-in-law to be denigrated, as she now is going to make the following offering. Elcha, I will go, no, now, hasada to the fields, ve'el kato bashibolim, and I will collect the stalks. Now, let's explain something here. There's a number of gifts that the poor are entitled to in the harvest season. There's a number of them. One of them is called peah. Peah is that the person harvesting must leave at least 1/60th of a corner of the field, the last part, not to be harvested, and the poor people can go and pick from that. There's another mitzvah called leket. Leket is that when the person is harvesting, the workers or the owner is harvesting, and you're taking the grain in your hands and you're using a sickle to cut. So when you're cutting the grain with a sickle, if one piece of grain would fall in the cutting process, or two would fall, that would automatically belong to the poor people, and the person harvesting cannot collect them. If three of them fall, then the owner can take it. So that mitzvah is called leket. There is that's in fields where there's grains. There's another type of gift called peret, which is the same as leket, but it's in vineyards. So we're going to see what of all the options that are available, we'll see which one is Ruth's offering to do. She says, ve'elketo. You see the root there is leket. So I will collect bashibalim of the stalks. That's the mitzvah of leket. She is not suggesting to take peah. She is not suggesting to take the peret. Peah is when you leave a corner. Why does she not want to take the corner? Because the corner really was a much more attractive thing for the poor people, because it's a whole section. And many, many people will be interested in this, and there could be a lot of pushing and shoving and all kinds of negative things going on. So she did not want to be in that area where the peah was left. She did not want to go to the vineyards because it was dangerous. The vineyards, the trees she'd have to climb would be too tall, and that would be dangerous for her. She wanted something where the least amount of people would be interested in it, would be the safest thing to do, and less poor people are interested in the leket, the one or two stalks of grain that are left behind, that are not caught in the harvesting. So she says, I will go collect the leket. And where is she going to go? Achar, after someone, asher whom, em sochein beinov, an owner that I find favor in his eyes. In other words, somebody who will not bother her, someone who will not abuse her. She'll try to find an owner who's a mensch. So I want to go in such an area, because she does not, she's a very spiritual person. She is a person who is modest and doesn't want to be immoral. And obviously one could be in a compromised position as a poor person collecting these gifts. So she says, I want to get the leket, which poor people are not that interested in. I'll probably be able to get an abandoned field, as it were. There'll be no other poor people. But I want to make sure that the owner is a proper person that I will find favor in his eyes. So you see the greatness of Ruth, that she's willing to go herself, a princess, and act like a pauper and not have Naomi go through this. Vatomer la, and Naomi says to her, Lechi biti, go, my daughter. Pasuk Gimel. Vatelech, and she went. Vatavo, and she came. Seems very quick. So Rashi comments that what she did was, she didn't want to have to collect a whole day and then go back later on, and she could lose her way. It could be at night. So what she did is she did a few trial runs. She would go a little bit, make a little marker, and then go a little bit more, make a marker. And she then went back to where she came from to make sure she wouldn't lose her way. So Vatelech, she went Vatova, and then she would go back and forth till she knew the way clearly before she would go to the first field. That's one interpretation. The Malbim gives another interpretation, and this is that what Vatelech, she went, Vatova, and she came. It was very close. As soon as she went, she came to where she wanted to be. And where did she go? Vatelaket, and she collected the grain, or the barley, as we have over here, basod, in the field, acharei hakotrim, after those that are kotrim, the reapers, those that are harvesting. She was taking the leket, and leket usually is after the people who are reaping the field. Whatever falls behind, she takes. So she wanted to be in a place where there weren't that many people besides the workers. So that's indeed what she does. Now we're going to see two examples of Hashem's hashkacha pratis, divine intervention and supervision. Number one is vayiker mikra, and it's showed vayikra is like something that just happened, as it were. Of course, we know nothing just happens, but it appears that way. But Hashem makes that happen. Vayiker mikra, and she chanced upon it, just happened, as it were, through Hashem's intervention. That where did she go to? Chelka sasor lavoas. She happened to chance upon the field that belonged to Boaz, which is obviously of all the fields in the world, she didn't know where Boaz lived. And as it were, the closest field that was to where they were staying, Hashem had ordained it that she should go into Boaz's field. And why did Hashem do that? Because that's the next three words. Asher, which were, Mimishpachas Elimelech, which is from the family of Elimelech. And as we will see, that Boaz will have a halachic right and obligation to redeem Ruth and the fields that were left behind. So Hashem brought that Elimelech should be able to see Ruth and her piety as soon as possible. That's the first example of Hashkacha Pratis. Pasuk Dalet gives us the second example. Vihine, and behold. Behold means, says, you know, something unusual is happening over here. And what is the unusual thing? That Boaz ba mi Beis Lechem. Boaz came from Beis Lechem. Usually, Boaz was a very wealthy man. The wealthy man doesn't always go to his fields and supervise the people working on the fields at the harvest. Boaz usually did not go to the fields. And for some unexplainable reason, Boaz felt compelled to come to this field on this day. So that's the second aspect of Hashkacha Pratis. The commentaries say another aspect of the Hine, the behold, is that Boaz, and he was the shofet, he was the head of the Bezdin, the Jewish court. And today, the Jewish court instituted a new ruling, which we will see in the next few lines. And now he comes to the field, Vayomer Lakotzrim, and he says to the people who are harvesting, he gives a greeting, an unusual greeting at this time. Adonai Imochem, the all-merciful one, may he be with you. That's and this is demonstrating that him and his Bezdin, they just made a ruling. Since the people were not such good people, remember, it was a time where the judges were being judged. People were not the best people. Boaz was trying to enact certain legislation and conducts that would make people more spiritual people. And he made, with his Bezdin, a ruling that people should greet other people with saying the name of Hashem to show that Hashem's presence is with them. And everybody is so honorable that they deserve that Hashem's name should be mentioned when you're greeting them. So this is what the Hine, the behold, where Boaz is trying his best to make the people be more spiritual. And here's an example of what he did. And you see what response he gets. Vayom Rulo, and they say to him, Yevorechecha Adonai. The All-Merciful should bless you. So you see that gets a blessing in kind. When you give a blessing to them, they give a blessing in kind. So you see that Ruth is willing to, you're seeing already her greatness, her greatness of character. We're introduced that Boaz has a greatness of character. We're seeing how Hashem is divinely bringing things to be that Ruth and Boaz should see each other. And Boaz is now in the field, which will lead us up to what we'll see in tomorrow's lesson. Let's take a look at the questions now. Question number one. How many sons did Nachshon have? Four. What were their names? The names we do know are Elimelech, Salmon. The other one is referred to later on as Ploni Almoni, such and such. And the fourth one, we're not told. Number two, who were two of his grandchildren? Boaz and Naomi were two of his grandchildren. Three, how were Naomi and Boaz related to each other? Naomi and Boaz were first cousins. Four, describe what kind of person Boaz was. It was an Ish Gibor Chayil, a man of valor, sterling midos, philanthropic person. He was the shofet of the generation. He was a tzaddik. Five, why does the pasuk tell us that Naomi had such distinguished lineage? To tell us that even though she had such distinguished lineage, it still did not help Elimelech from being punished for leaving Eretz Yisrael. Six, why did Naomi not directly ask Boaz for financial assistance? two reasons. Number one, she may have been too ashamed to go to him. And number two, Boaz was too busy with the death of his wife, probably sitting Shiva. Seven, what does Ruth do in Pasuk 2, which demonstrates her outstanding character? She offers to collect the gifts of the poor in the field, even though she is a Moabite princess, instead of having Naomi have to suffer through this. 8. Why does Pasuk 2 have to repeat an already known fact that Ruth was from Moab? The Torah, the Navi is telling us that even though she was a princess, she was willing to lower her dignity and collect the poor person's agriculture. 9. What is leket? Leket is a gift to the poor during the harvest time, that when a person is harvesting the standing grain, when the person harvesting uses a sickle, when the sickle is holding the grain with one hand, he cuts it with a sickle. If one or two stalks fall to the ground, they must be left to the poor. If there are three stalks in one place, they are allowed to be taken back by the owner. 10. What is peah? Peah is leaving a corner of the field that is being harvested, the last corner, which must be at least 1/60th of the value of the entire field. 11. Why does Rus want to collect leket and not peah? Because the poor people mostly go to peah, and could be a lot of pushing and shoving and other indignities there. While leket was less attractive to the poor people, and therefore she would have to come across less people. 12. Why does Ruth want to collect in a field from an owner who she finds favor in, so he will not abuse her? 13. What did Ruth do to ensure she would not get lost when going to fields to collect grain? When the pasuk says Vatelech Vatovo, she would go and come back. She made signs along the way as she was going. Then she'd go back to make sure she knew the way, made a few more signs, go back again to make sure she was very thorough with the path. 14. List two signs of divine supervision in Ruth coming to the field of Boaz. Number one, that the very first field she goes to, the closest field, although she didn't know where it was indeed Boaz's field. And number two, that Boaz usually would not come to his fields during the harvest, came on the very day that Ruth came. 15. What does Boaz say to his workers who are reaping? He says, Hashem imachem, Hashem should be with you. What do they respond? Yivarechecha Hashem, Hashem should bless you. 17. Why are we told about the seemingly innocent conversation? To teach us that on this day, Boaz and his Sanhedrin and his court made a new law that people must greet people by saying Hashem's name, and this will help the Jews become better people. Please review the three lessons from this week now, lesson 7, 8, and this lesson 9. Have a great day.